views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Start the adventure. Live the dream. International living, exploring, investing, and retiring. Light on Living Abroad shines the spotlight on how life can be better with life abroad. We'll explore owning investment properties in emerging markets, how to manage those assets effectively to increase your wealth. You'll learn the important steps involved in buying, renting, and building overseas. With safety lifestyle lessons and guidance to where to enjoy the most beautiful scenic locations, you'll discover where your best international investment property is waiting for you. Light on Living Abroad takes you there. Welcome on board.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this edition of Light on Living Abroad. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and as we build on this series of great adventure, travel, and investing, we are happy to have Dean Studebaker. Anyways, let me tell you a little bit about him. He is the COO of Compass Group International, the number one real estate consulting firm in Costa Rica. He's a featured guest speaker throughout Latin America and Central America. And Dean is based in Costa Rica and Thailand and currently working with developers throughout Latin America and the Caribbean, specializing in working with developers, investors, and brokerages from the Latin America to Asia on projects from tax-free zones, hotels, to high-density affordable housing. A regularly featured host for HGTV's House Hunters International, which is the number one real estate TV show for the HGTV network. And finally, currently working on a new TV show, Living on $1,000 a Month. So we've got Dean with us here and a fun show. And Dean's actually in Cancun. Hi, Dean.
Hola.
How are you? Now,
how are you doing?
Are you vacationing down there or working?
It's a working vacation working, kind of a little bit of a
Well, I've seen some of the pictures.
Well, it's like getting to work in a great vacation spot. So that's, there you go. So when I'm done doing the work, I'm in a great vacation spot. So it'll take full advantage of that as well. So
yeah, no travel time. Well, I've certainly seen some of the pictures you've been posting about the food. Oh my gosh, everything. How are you not 1,000 pounds? Like, seriously.
Hey, yeah, that rack of lamb I had the other night was just off the charts. So, yeah. But, I mean, and when you're in Mexico, you know, fish tacos are just, you know, are just amazing. And but where I'm staying at, the restaurants there are great. So, yeah, I enjoy taking full advantage of all the wonderful cuisines around the world. And part of our travels and part of our work is definitely revolves a lot around food and taking full advantage of the flavors of the local fare.
And as we literally, and I wasn't joking, as we were building on this series, the traveling to different things, like you're not just stuck, well, that would never be a word, but you're not just stuck in Costa Rica. You really do travel around because it's good to keep comparing about the culture and the lifestyle and is this a good market or not. And so just while you're in Cancun, are you going to be doing business there? Is this going to be something that we'll get to hear about, or is it a different project?
Yeah, down the road, this is just we're based out of Costa Rica and then obviously Thailand for Asia, but in essence, there's roughly around 50 countries around the world that we have ties and connections to. We've either done work or consulted in one form or another. We've either helped with sales and marketing. Where we've been physically involved, or we've been involved in just consulting side of things. We also get involved and hired to do social media, maybe for the development group. So there's a wide variety of things that we'll do. But we can talk and work with probably within roughly 50 countries around the world. We've worked with in some form or fashion development groups and/or hotel resorts. And then what we're doing we've never been we started out in the mid-2000s doing a lot in Mexico, and then I kind of pulled away from it for a variety of reasons. And really the only area in Mexico that Compass will concentrate on is the Cancun slash down to the Yucatan Peninsula kind of area. That is really the only area that we'll focus on. And we have a development group out of Mexico City that we worked with in the mid-2000s, and they're doing a new project down here coming probably within the next year or so. And they're finalizing a handful of details, et cetera, et cetera. So they wanted me to come down and spend a week and go through all of the stuff and the aspects of what they're doing and get my opinions on it. And then then hire us to do, you know, from a consulting level as far as what level of or where sales and marketing should be targeted and focused. Cancun area has grown large with Asian tourists and Asian buyers, Asian investors. So they want us to help them with assisting in that aspect of it. So it's been a fun week. I'm leaving tomorrow, but it's been a fun week this week getting to see what they're doing. And then probably we're still about 9 to 12 months away from this project being officially released. They're still kind of in development stages and certain planning and permitting stages, but should be opening, you know, latter part of this year, the first part of 2019.
Well, that sounds super exciting. Will that be one of the places that you can still live for $1,000 a month? Or give or take?
In this particular property, no. This won't be one of those types of situations. No. In the region of Cancun, I mean, there are parts of the region down here or down in the Yucatan. You can definitely find local condos, local places to live where you can live for $1,000 a month. Absolutely, but this particular project is not geared for it. No.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a little bit more upper middle income to luxury type product. It won't be one of those situations.
Won't be on a budget. Okay. Well, taking us into, we briefly touched on some things you were sharing with me, because this is why I interview you, because I don't know these things and it's great that you do. We were talking about just U.S. living and the states and which states and which are the biggest states and all that kind of why. So let us know what's going on in the general states there.
Well, the United States right now, the real estate market is doing, you know, very, very well. There's a lot going on in the U.S. as far as diversifying the way people buy and invest from small investors, small home buyers to large institutional funds that buy investment properties. So there's kind of a new phenomenon going on in the U.S. And one new one, for example, well, what you're seeing a lot is the flipping, the people that like to buy a house and flip, that market is getting very, very dried up. In a nutshell, most of the houses that went through the foreclosure process during the crash from 7-8 years ago, most of those houses are gone. They've already been resold and done. So there's very little house flipping going on. That market has become very, very tough to do. You have a lot more what's called buy and holding going on right now. People that are investing in homes or buying additional homes and converting those just into you know, rental properties and renting them out. That kind of is back. There's two types of investing. There's the buy and hold, and then there's the buy and flip. And buying and flipping has been predominant from investors from around the world. But now it's more moving back to a buy and hold type situation where they're turning them into leases. You're seeing a lot of multifamily developments, the large apartment buildings, things like that. Those are kind of slowing down a little bit. And a lot of those multifamily developers are putting more emphasis on building single family home communities or helping to build a variety of single family homes or duplexes and townhomes and converting those into rentals rather than doing the big apartments. So there's a variety of different things that are changing. The economy in the U.S. is just so much better this past year, and it has allowed a lot more opening of markets. The lending market, the private lending market. I mean, the United States has been, in a nutshell, has been handcuffed for quite a while. And the new aspects of the way we're doing business in this country now, be it certain tax situations are becoming much more favorable, lending situations much more favorable, and the idea of business is back up and booming in the U.S. is finally starting to take shape, and it is in no other sector. I mean, especially in the real estate sector, it's a huge benefit what we're experiencing right now. And a lot of people are taking full advantage of it and investing. And a lot of people have the opportunity to that they didn't have the opportunity to because a lot of financial groups and private money groups are willing mm-hmm. to lend money in expansion and for businesses. So it's great. Yeah, it's a great time to be living and investing in America right now.
I was just wondering because I want to get your honest opinion here. Now, it's a crazy question, not out of the blue, but we're talking about lending, how it's more favorable. Is it a good idea to do this? And B, should you ever do this? What about because it is more favorable, would people consider taking out a second mortgage on their current thing to expand and buy at this time? Or is that a bad idea in general, or is that a good idea? And would you do that?
It's like anything. I mean, the more you have ability to capital, then that's great. And the ability to get capital in the U.S. now is a lot better now.
Okay.
For whether you're a small business or you're just a private investor or you're a homeowner that just wants to upgrade their house or just fix their house. All these things have been so restrictive in the United States for the past 6-7 years, and it's now finally the ability for people to have choices. Now, what they do with those choices is another matter. There are always going to be people that don't know what to do wisely with those choices. That's just inevitable. But for the most part, options and choices are available to allow people to invest their money, take money out of their home, to be able to, you know, put a new roof on, to, you know, put a whole new air conditioning system in, to do whatever they need to do to upgrade their house, to help keep the value going, you know, and that type of thing. So yeah, it's a great opportunity. And you're starting to see more expats again. I know you're up in Canada right now, but your fellow Canadians love buying vacation homes and retirement homes and second homes in the southern parts of the United States, whether that's between Florida all the way to between Florida to Arizona to Las Vegas and you know, Phoenix, Arizona, where I make my home base, is always been extremely popular destination for the Canadian home buyer that has money that is looking for a second home or their retirement home, or their snowbirds. They come down. You know, when you guys start getting the snow, they come down here as snowbirds. If people don't know what a snowbird is, it's people that when it gets cold and snowy, get the hell out and fly somewhere warm for the winter like birds do. Your Canadian geese fly south. Well, a lot of your fellow Canadians follow the Canadian geese right on down with them. And they pick up their homes in sunny Phoenix, which I was talking to a friend of mine in Phoenix this morning, and it happens to be, you know, it's roughly noontime there, and it's already close to 75 degrees. So it's going to be a beautiful day in Phoenix.
Beautiful.
In the middle of January. Well, I'm sure it's 10 feet of snow up where you might be at. So, hey, and it's 80 degrees in Cancun right now. So, yeah, so it's life is good. I just say no to snow. I'm not a cold weather guy. If it's under 60 degrees, I'm generally miserable and very irritable and very ornery to be around. But the markets are opening, and it's great to see. And there are certain sections of the United States that are doing very well. The Phoenix market's doing very well. Las Vegas market's doing very well because a lot of companies are investing in those areas.
Right.
You have a lot going on in Las Vegas with reinvestment. More hotels are coming. The professional football team is coming there. That's Red Bull is looking to build one of the largest, you know, extreme parks in the world is going to be being built there. Down in Phoenix, in the general Phoenix area, Bill Gates just announced he's building and committing $80 billion to a stretch of land to the west of Phoenix, about 40 miles to the west of Phoenix, on en route between Los Angeles and Phoenix. And he's investing $80 billion in building basically a new city that's going to be the first, you know, kind of lead solar futuristic city of the world that we all see in, in movies and stuff like that. It's going to be completely run on and designed for the future. And it's a one of a kind. He just made that commitment not too long ago. So people living in Phoenix. There's just a lot of a lot of stuff going on there because of that. So there's a lot of exciting things happening, and the real estate market's great. The foreign real estate market is great.
Before you jump into the foreign market, because you're just specifically talking about how many options we have and choices we have. And before we got too far into there, I was going to say there is actually, because look at all this opportunity around us, and say people like even me, I'm sitting here going, oh, this is exciting. I want to jump in on this opportunity and look at these choices, but maybe I don't have the capital yet. Maybe I don't have that opportunity. However, I was going to ask you if you could share with us, because there is yet another way potentially, and how people are actually being able to obtain houses and residences and the land and all the investments these days. And it's completely not the norm. It's new, but it's been done multiple times now. And you know where I'm going with this. So if you could share with us, how is it possible that somebody could even dream about having a property or house without having that money behind them?
It's new, but it's not new. I mean, this has been tried for really since like the mid 2000s in various parts of the world, in various parts of the U.S. And basically what this is if you're looking to sell your house or, sell your house or sell a hotel, sell whatever, the whole idea of raffling off your house, right? Now, let me be clear when I say this, there's a lot of key words that we always hear. We hear words like lottery. We hear words like raffle. We hear words like sweepstakes. Now, just so you have an idea, every state in the United States, to every region in Canada, to every part of the world has their own individual rules that dictate all those types of things, whether it can be a lottery, whether it can be a raffle, whether it can be a sweepstakes. So again, it just depends on the country or the state that you possibly are in. And you go and you have to abide by those particular rules that are set forth there. Mm-hmm. So it's not a universal thing. Lotteries are considered gambling. So you can't quote sell lottery tickets for your house because you're not a licensed casino system. There's other, but other parts of the world that is possible. There's ways that you can, there's online companies where you can pay for tickets online to help win amazing, to Lamborghinis, to Rolex watches, right? I mean, so you can buy $100 ticket and be put in a position to win a $200,000 Lamborghini. And it happens, and it happens quite often. And there's the same with real estate. People are looking to do that with real estate. Okay. So if you have a property in, let's say, country X, right, and you want a different way of trying to sell it, you can run any of these types of situations depending on what the legalities are in your country. Or there's another way of doing it, which is called kind of crowdfunding, crowdsourcing, in a way that kind of skirts around any of the legalities as it relates to the gambling issue. Because again, if you call it a raffle or a lottery, if you're just doing it that way, then you're going to come into, like I said, a lot of gaming issues that most countries and states have that. But there's a way to let's say, help sell your condominium, or your house or a hotel by promoting a property or promoting an opportunity to purchase, let's say, $100 ticket or get a ticket for purchasing committing $100 into the crowdfunding source. And you market that and you promote it that way. And that's all done completely legal. And, if you do it that way, then the seller of that property has the ability, to take on to gain the amount of money that is needed to satisfy the sale. So whether he was selling just to one person buying his house for $100,000, or he's attempting to sell to 1,000 people that are willing to spend $100 on a ticket to sell his house, either way, it's the same. You go through pretty much the same process, but it's done in a what's called a crowdfunding, crowdsourcing type concept, which doesn't fall under typical gambling and gaming situations and legality. So that's one way that's doing it. It's gained in popularity. It's been quite effective.
It's very, and it, and so it really just is to really, to So really, like, this is like, I just got to walk people through this. This is crazy. It's fun. It's like amazing crazy. It gives, like, once again, brings those options and choices for people who really don't have that money, but they say, wow, I really, they're on, you know, maybe they're on a crowdfunding page and they come across this house and they're like, wow, wouldn't this house be perfect for our family or for our lifestyle? And look, we could buy, you know, a quote unquote, a ticket for $100. So somebody literally puts in their portion of their contribution or ticket purchasing for $100. And that person could very well win the entire deed, like own this house.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's how it can be done. And you go through this typical normal process. You'll still, the potential buyer will, you know, will submit $100. All that money will be secured through third party escrow situations. You'll go through a whole, you know, title process and, you know, the whole nine yards. The whole transaction is still a real estate transaction, just like if it was a one-on-one transaction.
Right.
But once you become the winner or the person who is awarded the condo or the house or the hotel or whatever it is, and you just put in $100 and you get chosen to be the one that has won that opportunity, you'll go through the process just like for the most part, just like any other real estate transaction. Again, you'll go with attorneys. You'll have attorney, the seller of the property would have their attorney, they'd work with an escrow company, the process would go through simultaneously the same way, and then the purchaser of the ticket or the purchaser who committed the $100, let's say, as a nice easy number to the crowdfunding, they'll receive title to the property. Title will transfer to the owner or to the person who won. You know, when they're handed the keys, they'll get the title, and they'll own the property free and clear. Now, the one thing, just like anything, if you do any kind of, whether it was a lottery, raffle, sweepstakes, or crowdfunding, that doesn't absolve any, you know, situations where, you know, if there's a taxation situation, that's part of it. You'll still be involved in, you'll still be involved in transfer taxations and things like that. But again, it literally will be just like a typical transaction.
Yeah.
Right. But you only committed $100 instead of $100,000, and you were lucky enough to win that opportunity.
This is so exciting. Now I have a story and then a question. So my fun story is that literally last night, my sister put in an offer to purchase a home. And so this is extra exciting for me to talk about because, you know, right now we're waiting for between 5 and 6 for the sellers to respond. And then are they going to come back with the counter offer will they just accept it? And then we have to go through all the terms and such. So I'm using this example. So first of all, I'm just excited about it. And then secondly, I'm going through in my brain, okay, say the seller of the house or the person who owns the property that they're putting on this as crowdfunding, is there a certain amount that by law, like say the property is 100,000 or 250,000, say they put it up there for, it's 250,000 and then they hit 200,000 or they hit 300,000. What happens with the not enough money? What happens with the excess money?
What happens with the excess money?
Or if they don't get enough,
if they don't get enough, it's like anything. You have to look at it in terms of it's no different than the typical selling of a property. Let's say someone wants to sell their condo in Toronto for $250,000, but the only offer they ever get on that condo for $250,000 is $200,000,
right?
Or $175,000. That seller has the right to reject that. I don't accept that. In this situation, it's no different. The seller doesn't have to accept the offer or doesn't, you know, if he sets a threshold like, hey, my property is worth $100,000. So all I want is $100,000. And through the crowdfunding, and once we get to $100,000, we're going to pick a winner. And the person who gave $100, of the 1,000 people that gave $100, we're going to pick the winner, and then that person would win and the transaction would move forward. If in the crowdfunding situation, it only gets to $75,000 or $60,000, the seller, just like a seller of a typical real estate transaction who is getting presented an offer that's $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 below what their asking price is, the seller will have the right to reject. So it would just be the exact same scenario.
Right. See, this is so exciting, fascinating. Do you know of a situation that this has happened?
Yes. I mean, this happens between hotels. Yeah, there's hotels and little resorts and houses and specialty houses. When I say specialty houses, there are people that have had specialty houses in different parts of the world that are just in kind of unique locations, or they've been built in a unique way. They might have a kind of a funky design to them, so to speak, and they're not your typical houses, where they have gone and they've marketed, they've created social media, they've promoted, or they've presented a huge marketing campaign globally in a way to say, hey, I'm trying to sell my house because I'm a little bit out of the box with what I have or the property that I have. So we're going to try it this way. And this is, these are the rules and the conditions and the terms, et cetera, and all that stuff. I mean, I don't want to take, obviously, I guess one point I'd like to make is there's a lot of legalities that are involved in this, and all that is taken yeah. care of and presented. I just don't want to bore your listeners with all the legality stuff. I want to talk about the fun stuff.
No,
but the legality stuff will always be there once you have, once the property is designated and presented. Then again, you'll go through the easiest thing to say is you'll go through your due diligence period before you're put into, before you buy or whatever. You'll go through a due diligence period where all the stuff, the X's and O's will get crossed, the due diligence gets done, the legalities are all handled and whatnot. So, yes, these types of things happen. Everything from
and all across the world,
luxury cars, all around the world, there are a variety of. Like I said, it could be a small apartment building. We've seen, luxury cars, yachts, houses, $75,000 opportunity, for watches. I mean, there's all kinds of things that have been tried this way because it's fun, it's exciting, it's new. And it's a way for, hey, for only $100, I have the chance to win a $200,000, condo in Thailand.
Yeah.
Yes, you do have that chance. So, there's ways to do it. Obviously, there's a lot of details which get presented when these people present it. They'll present all the details as well.
Right. And I just think it's really neat because I just want to highlight this again because we're even now with my sister put her offer in last night. We're kind of on pins and needles going, oh my gosh, is this going to turn into a bidding war? And so there's really not that much difference when you think about it. Whether you buy one ticket, maybe you say it's $100 a ticket, but you're like, no, this is willing. I'm willing to put $500 buy five tickets. And so I think that's just the most neat option, like you said, in choices and everything. And we have just a wrap up here, and I hope we can squeeze this in. Now, I just was asking you, this can happen all over the world, like from, like we mentioned, there's Europe, there's, South America, Latin America, everywhere, Canada, we do it, it's everything. So this is something that's totally an option available. And if in 1 minute you could share with us, how is Europe doing? Are they doing this? And is this a good place to be buying right now too and investing in?
Yes. Yes, Europe is experiencing various opportunities as well, too, due to certain circumstances over there from their economic standpoint. There are a lot of great countries over there, especially along the southern side of Europe. When I mean southern border of Europe, I'm discussing like France, Italy, Portugal, Spain, Greece, all these countries that have had some financial hardships over the last 3 to 4 to 5, 6 years. The opportunity to pick up real estate in those countries right now is amazing. Amazing opportunities to find real estate in some of the most beautiful parts of Southern Europe. So that opportunity, the market is finally becoming better for even Americans and Canadians to look to purchase in Southern Europe because the dollar is going a lot farther over in Southern Europe now than it has in the past. So purchasing real estate in Southern Europe is definitely a great opportunity right now as well.
Well, it sounds like, Dean, that the whole world is just picking up and having great opportunities and just really looking much better on the bright side. I'm so happy that you and Will always get to share such wonderful things about what's going on. That's really cool. I'm going to have to go find out about this Bill Gates city that's going up. But thank you for sharing.
I'll send you a link to that.
Please do. Oh, I'd love to see that. And you know what? Until next time, and we're going to be sharing more and more about just different options and opportunities and where to go and who's doing well. But I just want to thank you again, Dean, and we're going to allow you to finish your wonderful day off in Cancun before you have to scooch back to another warm state. But just
exactly.
Thank you so much for this.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, Dean, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Light on Living Abroad. We're so happy to share this time and just share the world with you. Until our next show, bye-bye, everyone.